Hello, welcome to the I Am The Code podcast. I'm your host, Mahiam Jam. Happy Friday. I hope you're doing very well. Summer is here, but our season 8 continues with amazing people. I hope you guys are taking some rest, taking care of your families, going on holiday, but please drink plenty of water, take care of yourself. If you don't have the opportunity to go on holiday this summer, listen to my podcast. Get yourself some books, meet some friends, have some rest, clean your house, clean your bedroom, and start writing maybe your book or make some new connections. And if you don't fancy doing all of that, please email us at education@iamthecode.org. We will give you access to our platform, our 12 weeks blended curriculum that we developed thanks to Skillsoft. Join us, go out there and learn a skill. When you have a skill, you are likely to have a job, have some money in your pocket. Especially if you're a young woman growing up in this world, women economic empowerment is so important. And I teach this all the time to our young women and girls. Being economically independent is really, really important for a woman. I want to just share that. And I also want to thank you so much for supporting I Am The Code. Each time you support I Am The Code, you are elevating young women and girls globally. I just had a session with the girls. They are amazing. They're also developing their project with Zurich Insurance, one of our partners. We are very, very proud of the girls. They speak very well and they know what's going to happen. They love the Sustainable Development Goals. If you haven't heard about them, make sure you go on our website and check what the SDGs are. Talking about SDGs, I want to share a moment I had with my guest this week. I went to Liverpool. Liverpool is a city in the United Kingdom. I went there. I went to a school called Chilwell Valley Primary School. Amazing young women in that school. I went to see the head teacher, but also the deputy head teacher called Sarah Evans. She was so amazing. And we love celebrating the incredible impact of teachers all across the world. We also want to celebrate the one who go above and beyond to inspire and uplift their student. I remember going there thanks to Councillor Barbara Murray, who introduced me to the school because she's a governor there. First of all, when I entered the school, I went to the class where they do STEM subjects, the computer lab, they call it. It was beautifully green, with amazing computers. But when I met the girls, they were so smart. I was touched by their enthusiasm, their politeness, the passion, the drive. Also, I love the diversity in the school. But this teacher just touched my heart, and I wanted to bring her on this podcast for you to get to know her. So we really have a heartwarming story from Liverpool. I recommend you sit down and really listen to her story and how she started, where she wanted to go, how she made it. And today, she will now become a headmistress into another school. And I can't wait to go and see her in the new school that she's going to be heading. Having someone like her to make a significant difference in the lives of young women and girls through the innovative and inclusive program really touched my heart. I remember her talking to me about diversity, inclusion, the way they take care of the mental health of the young women and girls. They've got these methodologies they use in the morning, Koro. It's really fascinating that, you know, a school like hers put all of this safeguarding mechanism in place to take care of the student. Anyway, I want you to meet her as we dwell into her remarkable story as an educator, but also the powerful impact she had on the life of those students. Because of Sarah, the girls have joined our podcast. They are my co-hosts. They invited so many, many women in their school, three women, in fact. They were beautiful. They hosted the podcast with me. They asked amazing questions. And Sarah was just saying to me that she wants the girls to have confidence in themselves and to remember they can do anything. Please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Evans, the deputy head teacher of Chilwell Valley Primary School in Liverpool. I will see you on the other side. Please join me to welcome my guest, Sarah Evans. Sarah, I hope you're doing very well. Thank you so much for coming on the I Am The Code podcast. I want to say thank you so much for everything you've done for I Am The Code. You're such an amazing woman. Why do we need to nurture young women and girls? And why do you love doing what you're doing?
It's been important to me in my whole career. I am a very nurturing person. I'm very caring and I want the best for everybody. And I mean every child. I want every child to have that experience and to live the life knowing they can do whatever they want and whatever they want to achieve. So when Barbara Murray mentioned about your podcasts and coming into school and delivering those with our children and being able to interview inspirational women and being able to show them there is a path and there is a journey that you can take to get to do whatever you want to be, I thought this is exactly what I was looking for, because I want my girls in this area to be inspired. I want them to know that whatever they set their mind to, it is achievable. And I want them to be able to go out there and do that and reach for the sky.
Sarah, one of the things I noticed when I came to your school is you have a leadership. When I came to the school, I find it clean. I find it beautiful. I really found the school nurturing, the walls. I found the computer room green. I was really, really inspired to work with you. But can you just tell us a little bit about your leadership and why do you think your role is absolutely important in that school?
It is a very unique role. It's a very important role because what I'm doing is I'm sort of working alongside an executive head teacher, but also being an acting head teacher myself for half the week. So we've had to build this really close relationship to make sure that it does work. We have exactly the same values and ethos, myself and Mr. Davey. We do work in partnership and we do make sure that our values are at the core and the heart of everything that we do. We have a well-being charter mark for our staff that it is vitally important for us that everybody who works within the school, the staff, the leadership, down to the children, everybody is of equal as importance. And that means that we are always reflecting on things that we're doing and making sure that we are making sure that the children and the well-being of the staff means that you can feel that when you come into school. Everybody who comes into school says you can feel the warmth and the love and the care within the school. The children feel it. We do have our systems. We use it's called RAW, and it's about children's well-being. So when they come in, they're asked about how they feel in the day. So they scale themselves on a scale of 1 to 10. And if they put them on a scale of above 7, we know that they're coming in and they're feeling ready to start the day, feeling ready to learn, feeling powerful and empowered to learn. If they score themselves below a 7, we know that there's some questions we want to ask. We want to talk to them. We want to find out if everything is okay. And it could be simply in the morning that they just haven't had a great morning. It could be that actually something really significant has happened. And it opens up that dialogue and that conversation. Because for me, oracy is the biggest thing. Communication and giving child a voice that they can voice and they can be heard and listened to is so important. And again, if you speak to the children, which you have done on multiple occasions, they talk a lot about that they're empowered to talk, they have got that voice and they use it. And it is about making sure that we do empower them to use it to the fullest for them to be able to ask those questions and to learn.
I love them so much. I will talk about diversity in a minute in your school, which also really touched my heart when I was there. Let's go back to how you started doing all of this. Were you a teacher before? Where were you before you joined this school?
Well, I was one of those really fortunate people who always wanted to work with children. I've always had a passion to be with children, to work with them, to nurture them and wanting them to learn. It's so rewarding. I find it so rewarding being and seeing them able to learn to the next level. So for me, when I left school, all I wanted to do was work with children. So I trained as a nursery nurse. And so for 2 years, I went to Hugh Baird College in Liverpool. Trained to be a nursery nurse. And at the end of the course, they offered me a role and I thought, I've done it. I've got the course, I've got the role and I'm going to be working with children and this is brilliant. And then my mum said to me, have you ever thought of continuing and going on to teaching? And she said, you've got the qualifications, you've got the ambition, you've got the motivation. She said, I think you'd be an ideal candidate. The course had done. I'd never had anybody go to university before. Most people had finished and went on to do nursery nursing. So it was something new. So I've got to say, I was so inspired by my tutors. They were really very supportive. And I put the application in and I thought, I'll see how I get on. Because it was a different route to getting into university than your normal standard route of your A-levels and going through. So when I got accepted into university, I was delighted because I did a teacher B-Ed course, which is 4 years of going into schools, teaching all the different year groups. And it was when I went in that I realised this is for me. The best part of it was being with the children. Because obviously you've got all the academic side of it, but actually where I came alive and where I shone was actually being in the classroom, being with the children, teaching the children. And that's where sort of I did really stand out. So when I did finish, I got my job at Longmore. So I went into the classroom and I began by working with the younger children. So I was in the reception classes, the age 4, 5 children. And so once I'd done that for a few years, my head teacher saw that passion in me and that drive in me and really nurtured me and sort of gave me the role of early years lead. So then I started leading nursery, I started leading early years and reception. And then eventually I went to lead key stage 1. So I was going across the whole of the infant school. And eventually I went into an assistant head role. And it was at that point that people were saying to me, you're only a couple of steps away from headship. Because when I first went into it, that wasn't my ultimate goal. It was actually to be with the children. And I thought, they're right. They're absolutely right. But what I found is, as I was going into more of those senior positions, I was able to influence more. I was able to have that influence. I was able to make those positive changes. I was able to have more of a say about what it meant for the children's learning and development. And I actually enjoyed that. And I thought, actually, I can make a real difference here. I can make a real difference to the ethos of the school, the values of the school. And that's where I am today, sort of getting my headship started in September. So all very, very exciting, which I'm absolutely delighted with as well. So I will be so sad to see Childwall saying goodbye to the children here because they are amazing. But you know what? I've developed the most amazing team, and the team I'm leaving behind are going to continue everything that we've put in together because we're a team. It's not an I, it's a we. We work together to do everything for our children. And this team here are fantastic. They're amazing and they will continue that good work.
And would you mind just telling us again, what is the school name?
Childwall Valley Primary School.
Cool, that's amazing. One of the things I also liked about the ethos you just mentioned is the warmth, the nurturing, but also you have embedded charity work in the mind of the girls. You know, I was very touched to see diversity in your school. I go to so many schools across the world, but I loved the diversity piece. You deliberately and really listened when I was really reflecting on this. That was really amazing leadership. I was also inspired by the fact that you are helping girls and people in Uganda. That was really inspiring. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the young boys and girls in your school? Embed this empathy, compassion, and kindness from all the nations across the world.
Oh, 100%. It is absolutely vitally important to me. One of the things I do think is really important is children need to learn about giving back to the world. We look at it 3 ways. So we look at it about them, giving back to them. So we have a PTA, which many schools do, which is about raising funds for the children in the school so they get to do experiences themselves. So they get the benefit of a reward, which is important because they need to learn what it feels like to get something back and to help others and how that makes them feel. We look at the local environment around us. So we look at sort of the needs within where we live as well. So we give back to charities, local charities, where that might be their next door neighbour. It might be somebody who is themselves, who is seeking support and charity themselves from food banks. So that they, again, get that understanding of the importance of giving back and what it means to them because they could be experiencing it themselves. And then it's about the wider world. Because once you know what it feels like for yourself and you've got that compassion for yourself and you've got that understanding, you can then start having that empathy for the wider world. You can then start actually having an understanding and a clear idea of what that means for children who are living across the world. So for me as a school, we're very specific in what we sort of look at and how we tailor it. So the children do, like you were saying, when you do walk in, are very giving, are very sort of talk about helping others and what we can do to give them those experiences of it. But they need to have lived experiences because children only understand that through their own lived experiences of it. So I am always very clear with the support and the charities we help and how we build that and we build that learning for them. So as the children grow through school, they grow those skills and abilities to learn to sort of have that understanding of what it means for children around the world and how we can. Now, for the children and the families in Uganda, I was so fortunate enough when I was in Longmore to actually go out to Uganda and visit the children we were sponsoring. So we went to visit the 2 schools, which meant I could see firsthand the work that was getting done within school and how that was supporting the families and how that was giving them the education and the tools and the skills, because that's what you want to do. You want to be giving them, empowering people to do, be able to go on and do it themselves. You don't want to be going over and just giving charity because that's not helping anyone. You want to actually empower people to be able to go on, develop them skills, give them an education so that they can go and get jobs, which then that means that they can go and support their families. So then it becomes a cycle. And having that experience has meant that I've been able to come back and share that experience with the children and keep those connections going. I worked with EduKid, which is a fantastic charity. They are brilliant at making sure that they're going over and they're keeping the communications. We often Zoom with the schools, which means children can share experiences. And what's been lovely for the children is they can see that the children have the same loves and the same interests as them. They talk about football players, they talk about teams and the things that they love together. And music, I think music brings people together so much. It doesn't matter about language barriers at that point. Sound, music, all of that, I think it's just absolutely wonderful. And doing that gives me so much joy because I see the joy in the children. I see the joy that they're learning so much and actually they're making connections and making connections with children across the world. And then they have an understanding, which then means that they can develop themselves and develop their own empathy and their own skills because they can relate back to it because of the work we've done in school. So they can say, well, actually, I'm having this experience or this is helping me in this way because people are doing things for me. And then I can do something for somebody else because I know how that experience feels.
It was really amazing to see that embedded that in the mind, in the ethos of the school to, you know, visit, see another school in Uganda, you know, which is far, far away. But also I love the fact that some of your girls were very assertive, very, very strong young women, you know, especially the sporty girls. So what sort of sport do you do in your school then?
Oh, we do so much sport. So we do all your normal sports, which is your football, basketball, your netball, your sort of running. But we try and do things that are related to children's interests as well. So we've had like frisbee clubs as well. So we've tried to be a bit more unique because what I want to do is, because how do you know if you're good at something if you don't try it? How do you know that you're not going to be the next sort of shot putter in the Olympics if you've never held a shot put or if you've never held a javelin or you've never done something because you don't know. You don't know suddenly how you're going to be or what skills that you've got until you've tried it. So for me, we mix it up all the time. So it's never just your standard clubs. We ask the children what they want, what they like. So we do multi-sports, which means it's a range of sports. So many different sports that they can trial and have a little go at. And then we'll take part in competitions as a school, which means that they can have a go at competing to see how good they are at it, to see if this is something that they really want to take hold of and want to do and take forward. So the children go swimming in school. So obviously, I mean, across all the different schools, children go swimming. But some of our children are amazing swimmers and now swim for clubs. So all these talents do come through, but you do need to just try these things. We'll never say no. And I always say that to our children, have a go because you don't know. Just try it.
Well, they know the names of all of the celebrities
yes,
as well.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. What I love about the girls as well is how inquisitive they are. So we had some set questions when we were doing our interviews to Rachel especially. Now, Rachel was one that absolutely brought them to life and inspired them. And sitting back and watching them answer those questions, the sheet of questions sort of got pushed to one side because they had their own questions. They knew what they wanted to ask. They wanted to know, how did you get into that? How are you motivated by that? And how can I get there myself? And I loved it. And they came off that podcast and they were beaming. They were smiling and they were enthused and they were sort of inspired. And I thought, that is why I do what I do. That's the most rewarding thing because those children, because of the work you do and the podcasts that you make, you're inspiring people daily and what you do. You inspire me. You are truly inspirational in what you do in getting these podcasts out to the world. And that's what I want to inspire my children to do, that anything is possible.
It was so inspiring. I remember, you know, I was on the plane and then I was talking to somebody about my work. I said, oh yeah, I listened to that podcast. I listened with that Rachel, the lady who was, you know, leading the London 2012. I listened to that. Is that your podcast? I said, yes, it's our podcast. She said, the girls were so smart. I said, no. So it was really amazing to see. This is an exclusivity, of course, for you. But I know the girls love you so much, but you are about to take a new role, which is really a progress in your career to now go and lead another school. What is the message you have for the young girls right now listening to this podcast? One of the things I like about you, like I said, you are fixing the world, you know, by connecting with us, by giving these young women and girls a voice, a platform, an opportunity. I think you really gave them a message because you could have just said, no, we don't have time. I can't do it. I'm busy, you know, But you did everything you can with your colleagues to create the Zoom rooms, to, you know, invited me in your school. So for me, I see you as somebody who's fixing the world, like our podcast season 8 is people who are fixing the world. But if you have a message right now, as you leave this school to take another role, what is the message you have for these young girls in your school?
It's to believe in themselves, because that is the biggest thing ever. Have that self-belief. Belief is that you can do. Anything is possible. Just reach, have that determination and that drive and that commitment to keep going and don't give up. Because, you know, not everything happens first time, even for this headship, you know, or even for the deputy role. But you've got to put yourself out there. You have got to put yourself out there and be prepared for failure. Don't think failure as I won't do it again. Think failure as a learning. So you learn from those failures and you learn from those, and it drives you to keep going forward. So never give up on yourself. Never have any self-doubt. Just keep going and keep trying your best, because you will eventually get there. Because like I said, I never for one child, as a child now, looking back at myself at 10, 11, did I think I would be in this position now. And to be in a position where I have got that power and that support that I can offer and help others is actually, it's a lovely position to be in, but it's also a position that comes with sort of, I've got to make sure that I am doing the best for everybody, because I do know it comes with a lot of responsibility. Because when you do have that, it means you are responsible for that with the children. So just don't give up. Make sure that you have that belief, even if you have got an end goal in mind. Keep going to it. And not everybody's journey is the same. You might have to go on different routes to get there. It might take some twists and bends, and you might take a lot longer to get that achievement, but you will get there in the end. And if you surround yourself by people who are motivating, who are pushing you, who give you that drive, which I've always had, and my family are just the best. I got the biggest cheerleaders ever. And my colleagues are cheerleaders for me, because I'm surrounding myself with people who are pleased for each other, who want the best for each other. So by doing that, by putting yourself around the right people and by sort of not giving up, you will get there and you will achieve.
One of the things I believe is that Mother Earth is a resource for all of us, because I never knew I will meet you personally. And I sit on the Global Teacher Prize, where every single year we find an amazing teacher. And every time I think about it, I said, Sarah really should win the Global Teacher Prize. I want to just ask you, what drives you? I know you have an amazing team, amazing family, the drive, the passion, but maybe there's a teacher who is listening to this podcast right now and want to know, what do they need to do to take things forward? Any message you have for teachers, people looking after children? Because I think that age you just mentioned is such an important age. Now you are leaving and going and becoming a headship somewhere else, but what you've taught to those girls, they will never forget. Drives you to be like this?
I think it's because I had that support myself. I think because I've learned from others. I'm very much a person who loves to take on board and learn from other people. And I'm inspired by people all the time. I can be inspired by anybody. People inspire me every day. And that could be people I work with. It could be people that I've met along the way. It could be colleagues. It could be people that I've been mentored by or I helped to mentor. But life's not always sort of linear. It's very difficult for some people, and people live challenges, and parents inspire me. Some have real challenges in their life and they get through it and they keep going and people don't give up. And I think that motivates me, because I feel blessed. I feel any teacher out there who wants to offer more or be more, they can do that. You just need to put yourself out there to do it. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard putting yourself out there because people might knock you back and say no. And I sort of look at things and think to myself, well, what's the worst that they can say? The worst they can say is, no, I can't do that for you. No, sorry, that's not for us. Or no, we're not going to give you our time, or we're not going to do that for you. Or my attitude is, well, if you never ask, you don't know. Because I know when you first come over, yours was more specifically for high schools. And I was thinking to myself, well, do you know what? You never know. If you don't ask, if I don't say, come into my school, come and do this with my children. My children are capable. My children will be amazing at this. You wait until you meet them. I bet when you walk in, you'll think the same and you'll want to work with them. And then you did, and you saw them, and it did happen. I mean, how did we know this was going to come today? We didn't, but we gave it a go. We gave it a trial, and look at what happened. Those partnerships, I've made so many amazing relationships over the years by just putting myself out there. And by trying and attending things as well. So I'll put myself on things as well. So even in Liverpool, I've put myself on like the literacy group, which means that It looks at sort of literacy and writing for across the city. If I'm on the board of that, then I've got an influence, which means that then I can then influence, which means then I can go and take my thoughts, my feelings to that and say to them, well, what about this? Have you thought about this? And do you know what? They might take on board some of it. They might not take on board all of it. But if I haven't tried and I haven't even put myself there, then they're not going to. What I would say for teachers is, don't let others just determine where you should be at that particular time. If you feel that you want to be doing something, go in and say, because what is the worst? Again, if you think, do you know what? I think I'd be amazing at doing this role, or I'd be amazing at this, or I think I'd be really good at this. Come and showcase it and be doing it anyway. Because for me, if you're doing it and you're living it and you're breathing it every single day, people will see that. And people are drawn to that. People are drawn to people who are motivators and passionate. Because I find that in sort of my roles is that I am a very enthusiastic person, which you probably do. I love everything. Everything I take on, I sort of do it wholeheartedly and I'm very passionate about it. But I think that means that people come on board with me because people get the passion and they get that and they go, do you know what? I'm liking this. Let's go. Let's see where it takes us.
Now you are leaving. Any message you have for this wonderful team? I mean, I love the lady. I don't know what's her name, if you can remind us, but the lady who was at the, who loves STEM, who was into the computer class. You know, I remember when we came with the mayor of Liverpool came to your school. I mean, I was like, what? She came to your school. It was so amazing for her to come. It was the first time this woman actually coming to schools like yours. So it was really amazing. What message do you have for your colleagues? Because of course they're going to miss you. You're such a star. You're going to another school. Do you have any message you want to just give to your colleagues as they listen to this podcast?
Do you know what? I couldn't pinpoint one particular person because my team, what makes this school? Every single person who's in this school makes this school. Everybody has an important role. We all do. And it, you know what? It doesn't matter what your title is. You all have an important role within this school. And without each and every person doing what they do to the best of their ability and shining and having that care and compassion for the children, this school wouldn't be what it is. Now, they know how good they are. I tell them all the time how amazing they all are. And to be honest, that is what I'm going to miss the most. I'm going to miss the children. I'm going to miss the staff at this school. They do what they do well is because they care. And they really, really care about the children. They really, really care about each other. And that is what they're going to continue to do because this team is exceptional. And what I'm so proud of is that we've got members in our team now who are stepping up into roles because obviously the senior leadership team is changing. And those people are now going to get that opportunity to continue building and to showcase what they can do and bring something different and bring something unique. And that's what I love. I love the fact that we don't all have to be the same. We're all very different and we all do things in different ways. And that's what's going to continue in this school because the team is an exceptional team and it's a very lucky school to have them. And they do care exceptionally well and they are brilliant at what they do. So I go with the belief of that this school's in a strong place. I'm proud of what I've achieved with Mr. Davey over the last 2 years. Really, really proud. And I can walk away from this school knowing it's in an amazing position because that's what I want. That's what I'm wanting to leave. I want to leave a legacy of keeping it going and those partnerships that they create. They've seen what I've done.
Can you tell us about the bench? Because, you know, we have girls in Africa, in Kakuma, they also have a bench. I was telling them, you know, girls in Liverpool have a bench. Can you tell us a little bit about the bench?
Yes, it's a lovely idea and it's a lovely concept because what it is about is having that bench there where you can just go to, which means that you can go and have chats, you can have communications, you're not on your own, you can talk to different people, you can sort of socialise about different things. It's about bringing the community together. It's about sort of people being able to come together and being able to talk in a sort of, when you're not in class, when you're out of class and you've got that time, that fresh air, time to just go and sort of be able to not have to talk about schoolwork, be able to go and have a chat about different things. That's really important because people thrive on connections. Connections are important. Communication is really important. Being able to talk is so important. We know for our own mental health and well-being, having chats and talking is so, so important. Oracy is the biggest thing. So giving children the power and the tools to be able to be good communicators is key.
You know, there are some stuff I will always remember in your school. You mentioned something called role. Maybe there are people who, maybe by listening to you, they'll be inspired to create something like that in the school. You know, would you mind just sharing again, you know, what is the well-being piece?
What it is behaviours. What we tend to find is when a child acts out or there's behaviours of any sort, there's always a reason behind it. Always. And, you know, everyone shows and displays behaviours because something has happened, and it could be that somebody has upset them in a way, or it could be something in their personal life, which means that a child's character or the personality changes and something's happened. And what we need to do is get to the bottom of that. We need to find out exactly how we can support, because that's what we are. We're a supportive, nurturing school. Well, I'm not there if a child does something wrong to be shouting at them and telling them, right, that's not right, that's not. Because who does that help? That helps nobody. Because actually, if that child has behaved in a certain way, there'll be a reasoning behind it. It might be that the work's too hard, the work's too easy. It might be that actually they haven't had any breakfast at home, or they've got up and there's no hot water in the house, there's no electricity in the house, they haven't had anything to eat, and they're coming in and they're expected to learn and things like that. So what RAW does, it allows to give the voice back to the child. So it allows the child to tell you exactly how they're feeling and why they're feeling the way that they are. And it's called RAW to Mental Health and Wellbeing. So, and other schools, so it is like a scheme that other schools sort of can use, but we've really sort of delved into it. Every teacher has a lanyard. And on our lanyard, we have a little card. And as you can see, on the card, there is a RAW rainbow. So if a child has been coming to me because they're upset, or they're coming to me because they've not had a great morning, or they've scored themselves, we always look at this first. We always place ourselves of where we are. Where are we on the RAW rainbow? Now, if they are lower than a 7, it means that that's RAW in a conversation. So we talk about it. We talk about what's happened. And if it is something that I can support the family as a whole, or just the child, and we can have those conversations. By the end of the conversation, I ask them to scale themselves again on the rainbow. How do you feel now after this conversation? Generally, what you tend to find is the higher on the rainbow, they might not still be a 10, but they're in a better place than they were before, which means then I can check in on them within the day and I can see how they're getting on. And then those conversations are always happening. They're very fluid. And it's very important because children need to know that you do care and that you are nurturing about them. And you do those regular check-ins with them as well. Because like I say, there are some significant things happening for children. They need to know that they've got a safe space to go and talk about it.
Wow. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'm interviewing right now Sarah Evans, who is going to become a headship into another school. We're going to mention it shortly. But I went to her school in Liverpool. It is an amazing school. Are we going to put all the links on our website, but also her new school where we hope to have more girls there joining the I Am The God podcast. You know, Sarah, they're going to continue being my co-hosts. You know, we are not going to give up. That's your legacy there. That's your legacy, Sarah. But can you just tell us a bit more about the school you're going into now and, you know, just a little bit more?
It's called Asmal Primary School and it's in West Lancashire. So it's in Ormskirk, in a town in Ormskirk. It is a lovely little bonform entry school. So very similar to Childwall, because I've got to say, when I was looking for headships, what I wanted to do was emulate the school that I was in. I love a small caring, nurturing school. So that's what I was looking for. When I went into Asmal, I got that same feeling, that feeling when you walk in of that sort of warmth, nurturing. The current head teacher there is absolutely outstanding. She is fantastic. She's been there for over 13 years. She's done an absolutely amazing job of the school. And I feel very proud and privileged to be taking over her leadership. She has also left behind a really strong team. The team have been exceptional in welcoming me. I was so fortunate to be able to go in and spend a week in the school, because Childwall were off for 2 weeks, whereas Asmal was only off for one, which meant that I could use my second week and go and spend the whole week with the children. So I got to know the children. I went into the classroom. I shared all about me. I learnt all about them. I did assemblies. I met the new parents. I've met all of the governors. So I feel like I've given myself a really good start about getting myself started to go into that new school. I do feel very, very fortunate and very, very lucky to start. And I'm very proud of myself. And not often I would always give myself a pat on the back, but to be honest with you, I think I deserve it.
Of course, I know I'm very proud of you. I'm personally very proud of you. And it's really amazing that, you know, what you've done in Childwall, it's really amazing, like I said. But you go in now and taking all your love, your pride, but also in your career, it's so important. As you said earlier, you know, you really gave yourself a time, you tried it. Like I said, when I came to your school, you don't have to take the I Am The God podcast. You didn't know who I was, but the opportunity you gave to the girls, and now they're going to continue being my co-host. You know, we're going to have a podcast, of course, in your new school. It's really, really amazing. Me personally, on behalf of I Am The God, our girls in Africa, everywhere, we really want to wish you well in your new leadership. Is there anything you want to leave us with, you know, in how do you fix the world?
How you fix the world is that you take it day by day. You need to make the right decisions, make the right choices, and keep doing the right thing. It's not all going to happen straight away, but each person, if they make a small change, small changes make a bigger difference. And that is what we're all aiming to do. If everybody takes on board a little bit of those of what I've talked today about the enthusiasm and that go-get attitude and just put yourself out there, because it's easy to say, isn't it? Well, it's not going to happen. Oh, it's not going to make a difference. But actually, you never know. And if everybody had the same attitude, which is, let's see how we can get out there, then that's when the big changes are going to happen. But no, I have absolutely loved my time with yourself on I Am The Code. And recently, I was asked about somebody asked me a question. It was one of the children in my new job interview when I was being interviewed about an inspirational person. And I mentioned yourself. You've been in my life over a short period of time, but the impact you've had on my life is been exceptional. You are such an inspirational lady. I've known you now for a long time in sense of we've had more personal chats. I know more about you as a person. And you and what you do is absolutely sums up everything that what we're trying to make a difference to our world. You put yourself out there. You travel the world to share those messages. You bring together inspirational people to be able to share that to everybody, to say anything is possible, keep dreaming, dream big, you go out there. So I was delighted and I was honoured to continue that work with you. You are the most inspirational, motivational person that I have come across, and I'm so delighted that we have built this friendship together. So for me, it was, again, personally, even for the children, it's been such an amazing experience, and I do thank you so much for that.
That's so lovely. Thank you, Sarah. My role in this society is to give people like you visibility and to help young women and girls all across the world to be able to learn how to code and to also be able to be exposed to something that they don't know. I'm very privileged and extremely honored to have been able to work with you. Thank you so much, Sarah. What a remarkable woman. Well, there you have it, the inspiring story of an exceptional teacher in Liverpool whose dedication to empowering young women and girls and boys through the inclusive program has really touched my heart. And it has also transformed the life of those girls. They came on the I Am The Code platform. They really are my co-hosts, and I will go back to Liverpool to have the girls talk to many, many people. If you haven't heard about them, please go on I Am The Code. I think it was season 7. They interviewed the mayor of Liverpool, Mayor Joanna Anderson. You know, one of the things I didn't have when I was growing up is having a teacher who gives me opportunities and chances. It's the same as when you have mentors. They change your life. If you like the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe, for we are going to bring more people. They are just wonderful people I have lined up for you for season 8. We are a very small team at I Am The Code, totally dedicated to making the world a better place by creating inspiring content for people who want to do better and be better. Please remember to donate to our foundation. It's summertime and our girls need content, connectivity, sanitary pads, food, whatever you want to donate. Please look into your heart and donate to our girls all across the world. Please help us. If you know a teacher who has made a remarkable impact on their student and would like to share their story, we would love to hear from you. Please let them know about the I Am The Code podcast. Feel free to reach out to us via our website or our social media channels. You know, you can really help us. One of the things I've learned this week is this. The world is full of people who do not listen. They listen to respond. They do not listen to understand. And you're going to encounter people who will underestimate your determination, your passion, your courage. They think they are so important that without them, you're not going to make it. This is not true. Please never ever think like this. You are so unique in this world. Your DNA is one out of billions. Remember this. You are powerful beyond measure. I said this so many times. If you put your time, effort, knowledge, learning, self-discipline, determination, hard work, you will make it. If I'm here right now talking to you on this podcast, you can too. When people said to me, you can't do it, or ignored me totally, in many ways or think I need them to be successful, I prove them wrong. Never allow anyone on this earth to stop your progress. Go out there and fix the world. And thank you so much for joining us on this journey of celebrating Sarah Evans, who is making an amazing difference fixing the world. And she's going to become a head teacher in a new school in September. And on behalf of I Am The Code, we just want to say thank you to Sarah for being our partner. We hope to come and visit you into your new school. Until next time, remember that great teachers can change lives and their impact lasts a lifetime. Thank you, Sarah, and we are honored to have worked with you in Chilwell Valley Primary School in Liverpool. Thank you so much. Make sure you go and fix the world wherever you are. Thank you and goodbye.